Good afternoon. This is Rob. Who's on, please?
Hey, Rob. It's Barry. I'm here.
And, I'm on, Rob.
Larry. Ryan's on.
And Ryan's on.
Okay. Larry, Barry.
Hold on.
Ryan.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Good. How are you?
Fucking busy.
Well, that's good, I think.
How
good
was your
busy?
Revelation?
Oh,
no,
thank
you're not.
You. It was good. It was good.
Everything
it all
went through?
Well, I'm still alive, and that's a good start. And so I'm not part of the 1%. No, it went fine, and I meet with the doc tomorrow to check and see if I get, you know, when I get off the medicine and no more. You know, I wasn't having AFib constantly like some of my friends, or I'd only had 4 episodes, so it's not like, you know, I'm plagued by this stuff, but hopefully I'm got rid of it, done for 5 or 10 years, and don't have to deal with it again. So
awesome. Good.
Yeah. So that's all good, right? Really good. So what's on your mind today?
Well, we've had a change of luck, if you will, with hiring somebody. After our last call, we had the assistant manager came back in and said he's been thinking about it. He wanted to reassess and see if we still had an interest in this guy, Tim, that we wanted to hire. Because he's coming on with the team as opposed to somebody else that he was going to hire that was coming on his own. So we were able to, and we're still in the process right now of bringing on a new associate, if you will.
Wonderful.
So
hey.
That was a pleasant surprise.
There you go.
There is a caveat to it, is that we have to make sure this guy stays in the first tier.
Okay.
They made that pretty clear that they want that. So
is it a quintile? Is it quintiles or quartiles or
yes.
Sir. Yeah, quintile, yeah. First
quintile. Right.
So it's not a big deal in the first year, but it does get pricier as time goes on.
Yeah. But let's assume he's as good as everybody thinks he is, right?
Yeah.
Correct.
We're being optimistic.
Right.
Being optimistic.
And everybody is high on him from management on down. So we do anticipate good things from there, but we should be able to tell, you know, we think we got everything situated from his work ethic to his military background to all those things, but ultimately the proof will be in the pudding and how hard he does work and what he actually does. So we're trying to, one of the things that we would like to do is get a little bit more of a business plan or what he's trying to attack, how he thinks he can do it, how he thinks we can help him. So if we can get a little more detail on that so that we have a better idea of how we can be successful, how he can use us, and quite frankly, how we can use him, so that at the end of the day, it's a win-win-win. So that's one of the things that we're trying to work on as well.
Okay, so just, you know, it's all sparking some ideas for me. With the military background, he's going to want to be in an environment where there's structure, where there's plan, process, and rituals, where his peers are organized. And
sounds like he's a supernova candidate.
He's a perfect supernova candidate. If you give him anything less, you'll be hurting him and you.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what one of the issues that we're having right now is that we as a team are pretty much acting very independently, and we still need to kind of get back on the track of what we need to do.
You know, about 80% of parenting is modeling good parenting, being the, it's what you do, not what you say. So you can tell him and teach him, but he's going to watch you. So if you really want him to do well, be the model.
Yeah, I'd agree.
What else?
We did about 25 financial plans in the last 2 weeks, so that's a good step in the right direction as well. We've been taking a big focus on that.
That's all been Ryan doing that with his clients, which has been brilliant. Barry and I still need to jump on that bandwagon, and we need to make sure we know how to turn on the monitoring as well. So that
I've actually done quite a few, Larry, at this point.
Who helped you set it up, Hunter, or did Ryan?
No, Ryan and I went through one of them, and I've just been getting them on there. I don't even know. I think, how many have I gotten on there, Ryan?
Probably 6 or 7. I don't know.
Are they monitoring?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to make sure it's monitored.
No. We know. I did the first one with Ryan.
Okay.
I'm hitting the big ones. Like, I got Neil's done. I got Paul Bush's done. I just incepted Paul's, too. So I'm going for the big managed fee ones, which is what it's said to do. So.
Yeah, and go ahead and make sure you got Chase up as well. Because it's especially
Chase is being monitored already.
Okay.
Yeah, we did hers when she was in the office.
That one's
okay,
done.
Perfect.
But I think we just, the bigger thing here right now is to, I guess, go for the big fee ones and the below 250 ones. That's what it sounds like.
Correct.
We've also offloaded some more accounts, Rob. I sent another 4 accounts since our last call. I had my first really negative experience doing that. client was adding her daughter onto the account, who's a Washington resident, and we're not registered in Washington. So I kind of used that as an impetus to have that happen and you know, I did tell her that her account size also, you know, played into it, but I did not focus as much on that. She kind of felt like I was disingenuous with her, and I should have just told her I didn't want her account and this, that, and another. And, you know, it was really drawn out. It was like a bad breakup. It was horrible. Like, I was like, she kept calling, and, like, you know, she didn't agree to, like, meet the people I wanted to meet with, and then she met with them, and then when she met with them, she was very, like, I don't know, like, how long have you people been in the business? And one of the ladies is in the business, like, 20 years, you know, like, it's just kind of, like, she was really standoffish about it. And then she was fine with it and was happy about it, and then called me back the next morning saying she was up all night and not to do anything. And then, like, I got a letter from one of the other offices where her CPA's advisor is asking for the account in Fort Lauderdale, so we're sending it to them. But it was just the only one that we had.
She needed
really
to go
bad.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Brian, she needed to go regardless.
I guess.
Yeah, I just... And, you know, maybe you learned a little bit of a lesson there in terms of just telling her the truth, right?
Well, yeah. Opposed to trying to let somebody down gently, you know?
Yeah, I think I was trying to let her down gently is what it was, yeah.
I mean, I don't blame you, but I think the, you know, whenever we're doing this, honesty is always the best policy. Not to be rude, and you're not telling them. Remember, don't you remember that the key thing is to focus on the fee that you're charging now versus the fee they're paying.
You're saying almost tell them we got to raise their fee?
No.
Frame it differently, Barry.
Remember the idea of a concierge position. Its minimum fee is $5,000 or $10,000, whatever, you know. And what you say is our minimum, because of the changes that we've made, we met with our consultant, we made some changes, our minimum fee is now $10,000. We're doing business with less than 100 clients each, and our minimum fee is $10,000. And you're now paying $1,000. So we don't want to charge you $10,000 for what we're doing for you. So therefore, we're going to find a new person for you that would be more suitable and you would not have to change your fee. And they'll be like, yay, thank you. So always focus, tell them the truth, but focus on what's in their best interest. You know, why are we doing this for them, not why are we doing it for us? We're not doing it because you're too small. We're doing it because our business has changed. We're focusing on a different sector of the market. And our minimum fee is now $5,000, $10,000, and that's not fair for you to pay unless you want it, unless you have more assets. So you then don't get into this, you know, why are you doing this to me? Look at concierge positions. They tell you the fee is $5,000, $7,500. If you want them.
Concierge doctor, you're saying.
Yeah, concierge doctor, concierge position. If you want them, it's $7,500. If you can't afford the $7,500, go to your regular doctor.
Oh, you're saying physician. I thought you were saying position, like position at concierge. I'm like, what concierge physician?
MDVIP.
Yeah, sorry, I wasn't hearing that.
Sorry. Doctor.
No, perfect illustration.
Yeah. No, look, you got to practice this stuff, and you got to keep it on your, you got to keep your script in front of you, and you've got to kind of reread it periodically. I do this all day, every day, not every day, but 2 days a week, and, you know, I've got to remind myself. So if you haven't reassigned clients for a little bit, go back to your script and reread it and say, hey, well, how do we explain it? Well, first we tell them what the problem was. Establish the rationale for the call. Problem was, we weren't able to keep up the level of service that we were always happy giving. We were frustrated, hired a consultant. These are the conclusions. We came up with a new service model. This is it. We can only, the good news is, we're going to give a great service experience. The bad news is, we can only give it to 100 clients. Unfortunately, we also have to charge for it, and our minimum fee will be $10,000. That will include a financial plan, of course, et cetera, et cetera. And the client goes, and I'd say, you're paying $1,500. I don't think that's fair to charge you $10,000. I don't think you actually need it. I have a long-time associate that I think would be fabulous and suitable for you. Been in the business 15 years. Everybody thinks highly of him. With your permission, I'd like to make the introduction.
Gotcha.
And they go, great. It took about 2 minutes, not four phone calls and aggravation. So it's words matter.
Yes.
As we all know, right? Words matter. How you get them, how you put them together, using the right ones. You got to practice and keep practicing you know, you get rusty if you haven't done it for a while, so go back and, you know, write it out or listen to my tape again or do whatever you think is necessary, but it's not something that you just should wing, none of us. Okay, what else?
Talk about the book.
Yeah,
sure.
Did you read it?
I did.
All right. So Rob, for the first time ever, Larry and Barry both read the stuff I asked him to read. This never happens. I'm so caught off guard right now. I'm stuttering. But I had him read the first two chapters of the new book.
Yep.
we currently have everyone in five-star roles or whatever, but I'm not sure that they're the roles that everyone should be in. I think chapter one summarizes like what perfectly where everyone's mind or our mindset was, kind of like where we agreed with everything, but we're kind of stagnant. So now, like, we need to start implementing this stuff more. I mean, quite frankly, my problem's been I've been so busy lately. Like, I want to like do more stuff, and I just can't because I'm not being efficient with my time, or I'm not whatever it is. I'm not getting there. Like, I need to be more efficient, or I need to prioritize differently, or whatever it is. But you know, we're nowhere near doing the five-star model in our practice. Like, it's not happening, and I feel like that's kind of foundational for us to start to unlock the other things.
Right, because it'll allow us to leverage one another better, much better than we are now, that's for sure.
Right.
Of course, comes from the book is that whole part about charging for financial planning, which is something we've never done. Which I thought that was really interesting in there.
Yeah, I think that's something we could consider in the future if we're going to do more serious financial
planning. It's all because it's making people have an ownership in what you're doing. You know?
Right. It's like you guys. I mean, look, the reality is, you know, firms have paid for Supernova for their FAs. And you know how much interest they have in it? Not much. Okay? But you pay for it yourself. You still may not do everything, but you're still interested. You're on these calls, right? You're trying because you got skin in the game. And that's the same. When you're looking for getting documents, they've paid for it. They're going to get you the documents.
Yeah.
Is that taking this practice to the, is it good to charge people, Rob?
It depends. It's all self-image. It has everything to do with how you guys feel about yourselves. It has very little to do with the client. It's just it's like charging for a fee instead of transactions. I mean, guys that don't charge fees don't think very much of what they do. They see themselves as brokers and doing transactions. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just taking it, you know, one more level. If you think what you provide in financial planning has real value, then of course you're going to charge for it. You're taking time for it.
I just wonder, even if we charged a de minimis amount, even if it was $500, for example, at least you're forcing the clients to take it seriously and quite potentially give you everything you're asking for.
I wouldn't do that. I'd charge enough that it's a something they notice, or I wouldn't charge.
Yeah, so we had a client that came over from Ameriprise last year whose Ameriprise advisor was charging her $18,000 a year for financial planning services onto her credit card directly. And I nearly pissed myself when I saw that.
Yeah, but she wasn't getting anything from it.
Yeah,
they weren't even doing the financial planning.
Yeah, well, guess what? That lady and her team are doing like $4 million in revenue at Ameriprise. We're not. You know, of course, she's slamming everyone into private placement real estate and annuities as soon as they walk in the door, but that's another discussion. I think part of it, Rob, has been to this point, it's a different situation if you're a $2 million producer and you're deciding what you want to do. I think to this point, our team has still been hungry and our team is still very reluctant to pass up on business. And I also think that the average client in Boca Raton is much savvier than the average client in many parts of the country. And I think that people are keenly aware down here, particularly like with what they're being charged for managed services, for pretty much everything. People are really, really annoying from that standpoint. And we really have to deliver, you know, the value, I think, more so here than a lot of our peers do elsewhere. I personally think that if we want to do that and we want to do the full financial plans for $2,500, we can do that. But we're going to actually have to do some real work if we're going to do that, guys. Like, we can't do the type of financial plans that we've been doing for our clients. And some people, quite frankly, the majority of the clients that we work with do not need $2,500 financial plans. They're not that sophisticated, and they're not that type of person. Even a lot of our higher net worth clients are not that financially sophisticated. You know, we have some people with $4 or $5 million that are retirees, and they live in their community or whatever. And, I mean, you know, there's only so much you can do with some of these people. Now, if we're dealing with the $30 and $40 million clients, and we're talking about setting up, you know, rolling grats and
family foundations
and donor advised funds and all that stuff. I think it's a much different conversation than if we're talking to the retired teachers from Long Island who saved up and have $2 million. You know, it's like, okay, they have $2 million and they live in a nice little country club down here or whatever. You know, like, I think it's a much different conversation. There's probably maybe 5 or 10 clients tops I feel that we have that we would be able to justify charging that type of fee to.
And I would say that if it's a $30 million client, it wouldn't be $2,500.
Would be $10,000?
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to do it, it's going to take a long time. It's going to be a lot of work.
And it's an ongoing process. It's not just a one-off thing.
Right.
I think Morgan Stanley will only let us charge $2,500 for a financial plan. I think that's the maximum they will allow us to charge.
Don't they have a high net worth plan?
We can check.
What does PWM charge?
I don't know.
PWM is supposed to be above $5 million or a minimum of $5 million.
I'm not sure.
Well, it's a good conversation, guys. I think that if you have a $30 million client and they pay $10,000, that's not out of line, but you need to have a better plan than a $2,500 plan.
I wouldn't even know what to do. Like, I wouldn't even know how to begin how to do a plan like that.
Well, that's a different question. Is that
you, would you, Ryan?
You wanted this, you know.
No, I don't feel like my planning caliber would be at a level where I could charge $10,000 for a plan. No, I do not.
That's what I was saying with both of us. You know, I don't think we have a right to charge that yet. We gotta be nice to get there.
I found out that I'm not able to do the chartered private wealth advisor designation until I'm at least second quintile in revenue for the firm. So there's no exceptions
for
on
the
that.
Firm?
That's the one,
for the firm.
Until my revenue, second quintile for revenue in the firm or whatever. So I need to get
where does that even come? I don't even see where the quintiles are, Ryan.
If you look on your scorecard, you might be second. You might be second now. So go to my practice and then revenue scorecard.
It goes through the region, the office.
Sorry, go to summary scorecard. I apologize. For summary scorecard, the first, like, it's in the middle column there, quintile within LOE group.
All right, it'll show me later. Whatever.
All right. I don't think any of us are going to qualify right now because we qualify for team comp if we did. So Rob, like, in terms of like the next three steps we need to take, like if we just had to boil it down to the next three steps we have to take, we're supposed to do a business plan. We half-assed that because we aren't really sure that we're in the roles that we're supposed to be in the first place, I think. But second, you know, we didn't make that a priority. The scorecards, Larry's done those for a couple of weeks, but Barry and I haven't done those at all. And, you know, we have been doing some of the financial plans, so that's good. We've been doing lots of activity. Like we're very, very active right now, like trying to talk to COIs and doing a lot of these things. We're not marking down the sheets like we need to, but like I feel like I expect to get rid of some households and I have all this free time, and like now that I'm starting to like get into this more, I'm like having these good opportunities with some of the larger clients. But I'm like, I'm so backlogged on all the things that I now need to like do. It's crazy. Like how much freaking stuff I've got going on right now. Like, you know, just in terms of like financial plan leads to this discussion, leads to that discussion. And like, I've wanted to have more time and I feel like I have even less time right now, if that makes sense, even though I'm working with fewer people and so forth.
That's not unusual. If you have when you open up and when you really start to do the job that we were, you know, that we should be doing, that we were hired to do, and you actually do it, it takes in the beginning, it's all front loaded.
Right.
So you're front loaded in terms of segmentation, you're front loaded in terms of organization, you're front loaded in terms of implementation. So all of that, even though we've been going, what, a year and a half now, probably, it's still front loaded because you're now doing the piece that, you know, we didn't do before, which is all the financial planning. And when you come with financial, remember, what's the second part of the five-star model? Supernova, right? Do the financial plan, director of planning, director of implementation, right? You got to implement the plan.
Right.
So you're full on if you're really doing this. So you do 20 or 25 plans. By the very nature of what you're doing, you're starting you're starting 20 new little businesses that each have a lot of work to do on them.
Mm-hmm.
So very understandable. It's probably too many. If you had to do the prospecting, you couldn't do that many plans.
Right.
So the part that usually suffers is always the prospect. And if that was if that was sacred and you had to have time for that every day, every week, you just would just not do as many plans because you have to do the prospecting. So it's the genius of the end, not the tyranny of the or. Because you're always
but if
going
we already,
to find...
But let me interject for a second too, Rob. Sorry to cut you off.
No.
But if we already have 25 done out of 150, what do we have? Collectively 150? That's not a bad,
no.
I mean, that's
no,
not
good.
Bad for us. And yes, it is an uphill battle, but that's also, we haven't really concentrated on it till now. So it's one of the things that it's not as bad as it seems.
No, I think his point, though, is that we're getting all this planning done and all this additional activity, but we're giving up the prospecting to do it. Like, that's what's always gets pushed back is the prospecting when we're getting stuck with all this busy stuff.
For now, yes, because it is front-loaded.
Right. It's all front-loaded, and the point is that if you had to do the prospecting, you would have done 12 plans instead of 20 plans or 15.
Right.
Right. So what you have to do is you have to have the director of marketing have a louder voice in your decision making.
Who's the director of marketing? Is it you, Barry, or you, Larry? Or do we know?
It's me for... we tried to split it, or Barry wanted to split it. Barry wanted to take the technical stuff or the technology stuff.
I think it's probably better if
we follow Rob's program.
I think it would probably be better if I did that role with the marketing. Then somebody's got to be doing the LinkedIn, and somebody's got to be doing all that stuff.
Well, that was, you were going to take the LinkedIn, you were going to take the technical.
I'm saying it's defining it, I'm saying we should define it better, not split it up and just have somebody do that role, I'm saying. 2464, you want to go
right? Yes, that's I think what Rob would say as well, since that's what his book says.
Yeah. Well... So I'm fine doing that. I'm fine doing the tech stuff. So I just think that we need to re-look at who's doing what, basically, and make sure we do it. I mean,
right. That's what I've been saying for a month on the call.
All right. I'm fine doing the tech stuff and doing the LinkedIn and doing all that stuff. I'm fine with it.
So Rob, knowing what you know about us now, or you know, you've talked to us for a year and a half, you know us pretty well, I'd say. What do you think Barry would be best at?
Oh, don't get me into it.
I'm just curious. You know, like, you know, because I think Barry gets most invigorated with the hunt, or you know. Going after, like I think he's very much into that aspect of things. So I could see marketing working.
I think the marketing is the only thing, is the best thing for me. That's after reading everything. That was, I don't see Larry doing the tech stuff. He's never been a fan of that stuff to begin with, you know?
Okay.
Anything techie like that is either you or me, Rob.
But that's exactly where, you know, Tim can help us out as well. That's also where we can, you know, I can get Michelle to do it. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
It does, because we want those roles defined as to who's going to do it and who's going to be responsible.
Well,
I don't want to be like, we'll get Tim to do it, or we'll get Michelle to do it, or whatever. Let's just be responsible for the role and do it.
But that's the issue that we've had in the past.
That's what I'm saying, Larry. I'm sitting here saying that.
Well, I've done it to what
extent that I was in charge of the marketing, where we tried to put together some stuff, but...
Well, technically, we're not having the meeting, and we're not discussing these things amongst each other all the time, so none of us are really doing what we're supposed to be doing with this. You know, I'm just concerned with... And Rob, just so you're also aware, our company is basically dangling a carrot as well with the planning, to where if we have small clients and don't do a financial plan, they're going to dock us like 25% on our payout. And then for large clients, if we do a financial plan and have them like enrolled online, they're going to give us like a 5% boost in payout kind of thing, or two percentage points payout, which is, we get paid out of 40. So it's like a 5% level up. So there's additional impetus to get these things done as well. You know, that's also out there. But what I'm finding is this is very time consuming. You know, like the plans don't do themselves, and quite frankly, the plans we're doing are what I would call light plans, or, you know, like they're not heavy duty plans right now. For our bigger clients, we're going to end up looping back around and doing heavy duty plans in the future. But for right now, we're trying to get a light plan on the system and start the conversation and make sure that we're eligible to receive the additional compensation. And we are finding them beneficial, but I'm just saying they're not like the type of deep dive financial plans that we should probably be doing for our higher net worth clients. I think they're very ample for some of the majority of the clients. But in terms of like planning, because we have planning and then implementation, supposed to supernova the investment process, and then director of brand management is supposed to make sure we're doing our segmentation and maintaining the high standards that we promised all of our clients, the segmentation, the rapid response, the 1242, accountability and compliance. I don't know. I feel like to Barry's point, I do feel like the marketing is probably Barry's best bet. You know, I think,
I mean, I thought about it as I was reading the first two chapters, Ryan. I was just sitting here saying, I think it's the best thing that I fit into. You know, the idea is to try to find something that you think you'll enjoy doing and that you can do the best at. And tech stuff is good with me. I mean, it certainly doesn't mean that anybody can't have suggestions and help out.
No, with all of these, other people can contribute. It's not, you don't have to work in a silo. It's just that you're the one that's responsible for basically making sure the initiatives get followed through on and done. You know, you own the project, so to speak. I don't know. I feel like no matter what way you slice it, I'm going to get stuck with planning and implementation. It's just kind of what I've done for the team for the last 13 years.
Well, you should do it. What's wrong with that?
And then Larry, with brand management and leadership, I think those are probably good fits for you.
And then Barry, marketing?
Yeah.
Good.
Larry, are you comfortable with that?
Yeah. I mean, I'm as far as financial planning and implementation, that's probably not my biggest strong point.
Right.
So, you know, once again, you and Barry have the CFPs. I don't, so...
But I think, Ryan, I think it is possible that because it's so much, I think that's what your concern is. It's so much on that one that maybe I should somehow be responsible with you on it. do it together, I guess. Where you lead it, and I help you when you need help. Because I can do most of it. Like, I've already got this thing, for the most part, down pat, you know?
Right. Yeah, I think so you can do some of the plans
need,
as well.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is I could,
good.
Although my primary role should be the marketing, then it doesn't mean that I can't help you when you're digging in on this stuff.
Yeah, we can all, Rob. We can all do things in each of the categories if needed. It's just that whoever owns that category makes sure that it's getting done. Correct.
It just means that, Ryan, that when you need something, it just means that when you want something done, that you come to me and you say, you just tell me to do this for you to help you. It's not my responsibility,
right.
But if you need help doing something, you say, hey, can you help me do this?
Or even
that sound
like
fair,
the
Rob?
Plans. How about this,
yeah,
too, even? If we work with these plans that...
Yeah.
I was going to say, if we work with these plans that I can come back, hopefully Barry will show me how to do all this stuff.
I'll do them at the end of the day, Larry. I'll do them with you, and we just start banging them out one by one. I mean, that's what Ryan and I were doing.
But the part that I think we're not doing is critical. It's like, at the end of the day, we can come back and take 5 minutes and say, look, I did Locke Samuelson and boom, 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 boom. So those five are done. And at least
you got to be careful how we do them, Larry. They're checking to see how many we get done and timelines and this and that.
Okay.
That's
well,
issue.
Whatever it is, that we get two done, that we get five done, et cetera. But if we come back and report to one another who we did or who we didn't do, that way everybody knows what's getting done in that process. Just like marketing, hey, we got this, the firm's doing this thing. Let's try to get 10 people there. Let's try to...
I agree.
You know, who we want to call, these are what we want to do. You know, have you called anybody? No, I haven't. Well, what do you need to do? What, you know, so that way we can try to get, we can kind of hold one another accountable, but report what we have done as well as, quite frankly, what we haven't done. Which just means we need to have quick little meetings, either at the end of the day or more than never a week would be a good thing.
Yeah, even if it's a 15-minute stand-up meeting, just to make sure it happens. Because we're getting sidetracked way too much.
And we're all busy. We all have stuff outside of work pulling us in 12 different directions as well.
Yeah. So, Rob, we're trying to do all these things to free up the time to prospect more, but to your point, we can't just wait till we have no time, all this free time to prospect, because it's never going to happen.
Well, and you're going to have an empty pipeline, which, you know, prospecting takes time. You have to have it marinate a little bit, you know? I mean, you know, people with $20 million or $10 million, they want to take some, unless there's some crisis going on. They're going to take some time to marinate over you, and you got to show them why you're good, why you're different, and that takes time. So you can't just decide tomorrow I'm going to open up, you know, $4-10 million client. You got to build the pipeline and then fill it and then work it. So you guys should have a meeting every week as to what. Show me your pipeline. What's in our pipeline? What's it coming to? When it's going to come due? How much is it? Give me a total assets, total production it'll generate, so we can do some planning.
So at our Monday meeting should be one of the meetings is supposed to cover the 5-star roles, and
that's,
one of the meetings
that's
is
either Thursday afternoon or Friday at the end of the week is the 5-star. We'll sum up the week, and Monday is marketing. It's 100% pipeline driven.
Okay.
Now, we meet Monday now anyway, so that should be part of that. But even if we bring a pipeline report from Excel or something, or just talk about those names, may not be the worst thing in the world from the standpoint that it's in front of us, we don't let stuff fall through the cracks, and we kind of have a process in place.
Right. It's a process, and you guys are good at it, and you're going to like it, but you got to do it. It's the most fun of the business, and it's the one thing we put off and don't do, and it's the stuff that gives us the most satisfaction.
But ultimately, if Larry, Barry, and I all bring in $5 million accounts that are business owners that are 50 years old, theoretically speaking, they should all be getting a consistent experience for the most part, with the exception of maybe a little bit of investment differential here and there. But we shouldn't have to rebuild the wheel every time we bring in a new client in terms of like what we're going to do with them. We should have that a little bit more refined in terms of a client at this level and this a client that does not need income, that has $5 million and is 50 years old, is going to get X, Y, and Z from us in most cases, correct?
Right. Sure.
Correct.
You should have a supernova investment process. You should have a nice, clean onboarding process.
So in terms of onboarding a new account and getting accounts set up and everything, is that implementation or is that like the
brand management
is service, Larry. So that's going to be all these things that we're having issues with Christine or our process with her.
Should be exactly the same. It should be, it's a multi-generational planning, 1242, rapid response to your problem. That's what you're going to get. Here is the investment process. Here is the service process. Here is the problem-solving process. And we start by, tell us about your family, your goals, your values. What are you trying to do? That's all part of the planning process. That's onboarding, right? You can't really do business with somebody till you've done a financial physical for them.
Right. So 5 years ago, we had a prospect. Maybe 7 years ago, we had a prospect that was like a $20 million account, and we met with them a couple times. And we ended up losing the account because we never really got far enough with them to, like, really know what their needs were. Like, they wouldn't tell us the financial plan. They almost wanted us to come to them with, like, the package that we were offering them. Almost like, it was weird. They wanted us to have, like, all the answers before they even told us what about themselves. You know what I mean? Like, they figured a high net worth client should, we should have like this pre-packaged format for them or something like that. Like, are you a fan of almost having like a pitch book that we're using with clients and saying like, these are the main categories that we invest client money in. This is the types of stuff we use in this category, this is the types of stuff we use in this category, and then kind of like giving them at least an overview of like what they might be getting or some of the things they could be getting?
I think you should be able to give them a sample portfolio, what it would look like, why you think that it, just if they're interested in that. I mean, the first thing you do is you interview the client. And ask them what they're interested in. Why are you looking for a new financial advisor? What haven't you? What do you like about your old ones? What didn't you like? And take good notes and listen. I mean, you're there probably because you've been referred by somebody that loves you, right? So what is it about the reference that got your attention enough to have this meeting? Well, they told us about 1242, and they told us that you did a financial plan for them, and told us that you call them every month. And you so those are the things that you like. Tell me about what your previous advisor did that you like. Tell me what he didn't, what you didn't like. So now you're pretty much setting up a relationship that is going to work, right? That they like. And then you teach them what you do. But it's really, it's got to be a dialogue, not a monologue. And then you give them a folder and say, here's your folder. When you do business with us, this is the folder that we're going to have. This is where you take notes. This is where the agenda goes. This is all about our team. This is where we present ideas to you, et cetera, et cetera. And we do that every month. So it's not like two times a year or quarterly we'll do performance reviews. What we do is a financial plan for you, and then we do full implementation of that financial plan. So you have got a coach that is going to help you implement everything that you need to do that you've indicated that you wanted to do. So there's things that you should do, and there's things that you want to do. And we're going to help you with both. We'll encourage you to do the things you should do because they're right for you, and we'll make sure you get done what you want to do. So we're different from others. They'll do a financial plan, and then you're on your own with most of it. That's not the case with us. Others are just performance oriented. We're focused on you and at helping you achieve your goal. And that will change. So it's not a financial plan. It's a planning process that goes on forever. And we charge you for that.
That you were speaking
of. We charge you for that.
Sorry, what? Larry?
What was the client? What name was that?
What do you mean?
Who were the clients that you were speaking of?
They were the referrals from Lucy that lived over in Polo Club, that the guy had had the putting green in his backyard. I was on it with Dershaw. You weren't on it.
Some people are just shopping too, you know. So don't, you know, they're just shopping, you know. They want to see what pretty envelopes you have, you know, or what pretty presentation you have. But they're not serious. So you got to, so much of what your success is dependent on getting solid introductions from people that know you, trust you, like you, and are willing to reintroduce you. I mean, it can't be just random introductions. It's got to be serious introductions to people that are really interested and you interview them. You turn them down because they're not suitable for you. And that's the mindset you got to have in these interviews. So we want to make sure this is a good fit for both of us. Tell me about your family. Tell me about the way you make decisions. Tell me what's been missing in your life. Tell me about your values. They don't want to talk like that. They don't want to listen to that. Then you don't want to do business with them.
Okay. We're at the point now where we're turning down smaller clients.
Good.
I don't know if we're mentally at the point right now where we're turning down larger clients.
You should be.
But we're trying to pass them all over to Adam and Michael and Monique.
Just think about turning down jerks, right? You don't want jerks. I don't care how much money they have.
No, but you are willing to deal with more if it's big enough. I know I am, at least.
You get whatever you focus on, Ryan. It's goal setting is magical. If you focus on doing something, you'll get it. So be careful what you focus on and be careful what your goals are. Be careful what values you're willing to compromise.
No, I agree. I'm not looking to work with someone who's abusive, but I'm just saying there is a sliding scale of how annoying I'll let a client be. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I mean, I tolerate, you know, because I see the good in everybody, but I wouldn't put up with much. I mean, look at you guys. I mean, I speak very frankly with you. I mean, I think that's only fair.
Right? Yes.
And you're doing a better job, David, as well. That relationship, you've changed around from him just being a pain in the butt to...
I'm sorry, you cut out. I missed that.
No, Larry was just talking about me converting a total pain client to a less of a pain client. P-A-I-N, pain.
That kind of pain, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, no. My point just, Rob, was like, if a client's paying us $50,000 in revenues then, and he wants to meet at 5:30 on Tuesday, then I'm going to meet at 5:30 on Tuesday, you know.
I agree with that.
I wasn't saying I'm going to let him talk to Christine like she's his servant, right, and abuse us and stuff like that.
Right, right. Well, I use the term jerks. No jerks allowed. So
right.
Jerk isn't somebody that, you need to go out to the airport and meet him when he comes in on his private jet, then for $50,000 or $100,000 or $200,000, I'll go, right?
Right. My wife and I, my wife's had a very tough stretch at her job. It's been a really, really difficult stretch for her, I mean, meaning like the last 6 months. And we're actually looking to get away and do a nice escape vacation type thing. And I was sitting there and do this whole process and thinking about how much money we're going to spend on doing this vacation thing. Should be a lot of money. But I'm like, you know, my goal is to build a practice to where, like, I don't feel like this ever. You know, like, I don't want to feel like I need to escape my practice. I want to feel like I'm, you know, happy to go to work and deal with my practice. You know what I mean? Like I'm trying to say, what's it going to take for this to be enjoyable 5 days a week? Because that's how many days I have to be there. You know what I mean? Or whatever. You know, and like that's what I'm trying to work towards building, and it's a longer term process. But like, I want all of my relationships to be as pleasurable as 5 or 6 of them are now. You know what I mean? Like, where I enjoy talking to these people, and it's not like I'm, you know, I don't want anyone where I look at the phone and dread when I see the caller ID. You know?
Yeah, but it's also the amount of work you do on the front end, like training. Like the kids that you're doing now. So, yes, it is much harder now because we're distinctly aware that we're trying to do that. It's not always going to feel like this, that's for sure, Ryan. That I can tell you. But because there's a lot of work that we're going through now and a lot of stuff has, and you've been busy, it's been a little more chaotic than it probably should be.
Yeah, but we should also be traveling more to see our clients, and I have not traveled in the last year outside of the state, so I know I am not fulfilling my face-to-face meeting annually with some of my big clients.
Yeah, but you also have a brand new daughter. Mary's traveling. We have some circumstances, but in spite of all that, you still have held up your end of the bargain.
Well, yeah, but I have to, you know, yes, I've had a great year and a half, but I, you know, like I need to keep refilling that pipe, and I keep needing, you know.
Yes, and we do need to travel more, and you know, eventually going to see Sagan and Meckles. Yes, we do.
Getting that money. Yeah, Rob, I have a client that's got more money. That's got more money away, and I've been pressing him a little bit. And finally, that I said, "What's it going to take?" He said, "A little more time." like bullshit. That means either you don't think I'm good enough to do better than the other person. Yeah, I didn't say that to him, but this is the dialogue going on in my brain. You know what I mean? Like that's a stall. That means either, you know, you think we're not worth it, too expensive, or, you know, he's got $5 or $6 million away at Fidelity and Vanguard. You know.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's different than, you know, at Merrill Lynch or, you know, J.P. Morgan.
Right.
That's a relationship. This is an economic decision. You know, he's seeing them as cheaper and you guys as expensive or whatever.
Yeah,
I took his
$2.5 million at Merrill. I took that money. I got that.
Yeah.
But going and visit him would help to solidify that process even more.
Of course. Of course. The other thing, guys, is just remember, I mean, make a list of 10 ways that you save clients money and put it on your 24-month calendar. And just bring these things up periodically because they see you as a cost center. They see you as $70,000. They don't see you as a group that's saving them money and working every day to save them money. And so by reminding them that you are their agent and you're working for them, and that you've done these things, the following things that have saved them money and continue to save them money, you're their advocate in this crazy world of escalating expenses. Okay? That's really an important idea. I mean, it can make it, it's fun for you to tell them, and it reminds them that by doing business with you, you're doing all these good things to save them money. Because nobody else is going to tell them that.
Right. That's a good point.
So just figure out, you know, why does a 529 save the client money? Well, obviously it accumulates without, you know, it accumulates in the kid's name and it has tax benefits. Why is a 401k good? Why is tax-free municipal bonds good? Why does reimbursing them on their credit card, ATM fees, why is that good? Why is estate planning good? Why is long-term capital gains good? Why do we have this versus mutual funds? Why do we have tax considerations when we're selling stocks? Why this, why that? All this tax planning and financial planning and all these things are good for them, and they didn't know them, or they just need to be having somebody monitor that they're doing the right thing consistently tax-wise. Okay?
All righty.
That's a good point.
I see your big problem as a communications issue. That you guys you get on here and you're discussing issues that you all should be resolving every week. Not just when you get on and talk to me. I mean, you should be using me to answer questions and work on strategies to close this client, or how do I get this center of influence to be more responsive, or whatever. Not answering questions on why you guys aren't communicating. Okay? You need to do that. all the things that we've talked about pretty much today are issues that you all could resolve on your own without me. So what you're not doing is using me as effectively as you could. Instead, you're using me as a weekly meeting, which is not a good idea. It's not just good use of your money and your time and my time. So get these meetings going and make sure these are valuable. And I think you blow them off for some reason. So don't do that. If we've accomplished anything today, it's the fact that you guys need to talk and hold each other accountable and be there for each other. Hold each other accountable, but also help each other. And you can't help each other if you're not communicating. So that's my big takeaway.
That's pretty spot on.
Okay. All right. Well, let's see if we can...
Hey, Bear, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
All right, so commit to doing this for the next 2 weeks, and tell me how much benefited it, because it should be. You know, Monday and Thursday night, or Monday and Friday, but have those two meetings. If you don't do anything else, have those two meetings every week. And then let's see what happens. Some good things are going to come from it. You're going to have a meeting on Monday about your pipeline. You have nothing to say. You have no pipeline. You're not going to want to go to the meeting. So that'll get you. That's enough to get you going and get your meeting, get your pipeline going. If you haven't done your job in the 5-star model, you're not going to want to go to that meeting on Thursday or Friday. So you're going to do your job. So it's just human nature, guys. It's just human nature. And you like each other, you trust each other, you're a good team, you just have to communicate and you have to meet and you have to hold each other accountable. And then you'll rock and roll. Every team goes through the exact same thing you guys are, okay? So just solve it and you'll be way ahead of everybody else. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Just moving forward. All the time. This week was better than last week. Next week will be better. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good week. Talk to you in a couple. Thanks.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Do you guys...
you want to call me back? I'm in the car. Are you there?
Yeah.
All right. Is Barry still on?
Barry, you there? Barry? No. I'm supposed to call Maura, actually, right now, too. I gotta get a hold of her. I gotta talk to her. Let me see if Barry can talk in a little bit. One second.